like you. Father, we give you praise this morning. We give you praise this morning. There is none like you. And Lord, I thank you this morning because, Lord, we don't have to search. Lord, you came for us. We don't have to search. You're here. Your presence. Your gift to us. Lord, all we have to do is to receive that. Father, I pray this morning if there's those that are here that do not know you, that they don't know you as Lord and as Savior, I pray, tug at the heart, Lord, this morning. Holy Spirit, do a work that only you can do this morning in someone's heart today. If they do not know you, let the search be over this morning. Lord, for those that are here today that are heavy with burdens, that are carrying hurts, let the search be over, Lord, this morning. Let them call upon your name, the name above all names. Father, we are your people. We desire your presence here, not just in this building, in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, and in our church. We desire your presence this morning. Father, we don't want to search anymore. Because there is none like you. The name above all names. Father, we proclaim today, let your name be praised in your house this morning. Let incense arise this morning as we sing sometimes. Let the praises of your people be pleasing to you this morning. Let our hearts be in tune and in harmony with your Holy Spirit this morning. Father, we desire to receive from you. We desire to hear from you. We desire to bless your name. Thank you for being here, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in the midst of your people this morning. Thank you that we can call upon your name. Father, we thank you this morning. We give you praise, for it's in your precious and holy name we ask this. And everyone said, amen, amen. Do me a favor, before you're seated, why don't you go around, greet somebody that you might not have seen lately, and just give them a hello and encourage them this morning. No, that's Christine, the other one. Thanks, Charles. No worries. Well, good morning. Good morning. So good to be with you this morning. And again, I just want to give a thanks to Pastor Brad, he's taking a day off here. I guess we'll give him a day off, right? You know, you're welcome, Pastor Brad. You're welcome. So no, we love Pastor Brad and Pastor Nicole, and we are thankful for their ministry. And I'm also thankful again for that opportunity. Excuse me. I've got a runny nose. So but yeah, I'm just excited for this morning. And first of all, I just want to make sure that we do this. I want to make sure that we don't miss what is and what we do celebrate today as well, and that is Memorial Day. I know that happens tomorrow. But I just want to take a moment to say that as a church, we are thankful not just for those that have fallen in the line and in the duty of our of our country and service of our country. We're thankful for each and every member, veteran, who has served in any capacity. And so what I would like for us to do, if you're here this morning and you are a veteran or you're active service currently, if you're here this morning in any branch of the armed services, would you stand and that we may honor you and bless you and thank you and a small token of our love and appreciation. Can we just give it up for and on behalf of Cross Point and this church family, we want to just say thank you to those that do serve, have served in any capacity. But I want to just take a moment. I think it's really important for us to take a moment. And I felt led to, as we greeted each other and as we honor those that are here as veterans, but I feel like we just need to pray. Is that okay? Would you join me? And I just pray for, certainly for our country, but the families that have lost, right? Because this is a difficult day. And I don't feel like that ever necessarily goes away. As time goes on, it doesn't necessarily diminish in any way, shape, or form the sacrifice, but there's that pain that's still oftentimes there. So can we just agree together as a church family to not only bless those who have fallen and the families, surround them and cover them in prayer, but also just pray for the protection of our military throughout the world and certainly for our country right now. Would you do that with me this morning? So Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, this morning we just take a few moments and Lord, we just want to say thank you for those that have served, Lord, and again, have given that ultimate sacrifice of their lives in defense of this country. Lord, let it not fall, Lord, let us not fall back on or forget the sacrifices of those individuals, but the sacrifices of those families. Father, I pray just your blessing, your peace today upon all of our families that serve in capacities in the military and veterans as well, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would comfort them this morning. I pray, Lord, that today they would feel a tangible sense of your Spirit's presence. And Father, I pray, God, for the current, Lord, our current military, those that are reserves and active duty and National Guard, Lord, any capacity, Father, I pray, God, for just a covering of protection over them. Lord, we know that in the last days, things can get crazy, and your word says, Lord, but we, Father, we also know that we don't have to fear. We don't live in that, Father, because we know that you're in control, but we ask, God, that you would just cover them, protect them. I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit. I pray for revival in our military, God. I pray, God, for your presence in the midst of chaplains, Lord, chaplaincy, Lord, that they would be, Father, Spirit-filled to equip, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that may not know it. But I pray, God, that you would just equip them. I pray, God, for encouragement and protection this morning. And Lord, we just continue to just lift up our government. Lord, we don't, it's not a political, Lord, it doesn't matter. Lord, we want to serve you, but we also know that you've called us to pray for our leaders. We just pray, God, for the leadership, all of our leadership, Lord, no matter who it is. We pray for godly wisdom. We pray your Holy Spirit speak to them. Guide and direct us as a nation. We want to bless you as a nation. Father, I pray today as we celebrate, Lord, it's an odd word to say, celebrate Memorial Day. We want to honor the sacrifice. So help us to do that. Bless, Lord, these families. Bless these men and women who have served. And I pray that, Lord, as we go forward today and into tomorrow, that it would be on our minds. Lord, it would just be a moment and a time of just thankfulness. We're thankful, Jesus, for that sacrifice. So, Jesus, I pray, in the strong name, your name, amen. Thank you so much. Again, thank you for your service. So if you were here last week, we started a 2-week series on impact, and really what I shared was just a little bit of my heart and from something that I shared a few months back with our men's ministry and kind of being a man of impact. And I kind of tailored it a little bit because I still feel that it was relevant. I still feel that it was needed. I still felt like the Holy Spirit saying, you know, that I think this is what I want you to say. So again, last week we started in the understanding of when we are or how we are to be people of impact. And what we have to understand is the idea that we have to say, yes, Lord. And we gave two examples in Scripture, and that was Moses and that was Gideon. And we'll kind of revisit a little bit of Moses today, but Moses and Gideon, and there are two examples of how there was these moments, right? Almost kind of like those, like, they cut through, like those moments in time where you remember, right? And that's what they experienced. A burning bush and a wine press kind of thing. And there was these moments, but here's the crazy thing that you see in both of those examples, and what really, you know, what we have to glean from is that they said yes to the engagement of that experience. Before they knew the assignment, they said yes. And one of the scripture references that we read, I kind of shortened it up, and I just simply said, Gideon replied. He engaged the moment, not knowing why is there an angel sitting in front of me saying, mighty warrior. He said, yes, Lord. Moses said, yes, Lord. I'm going to look to see what's going on with this burning bush. And so for you and I today, it's no different, right? We have to be, in order for us to be a person of impact, you have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, to engage the opportunity. I oftentimes say it this way, the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force. He calls us. Peter had to decide to get out of the boat, right? Because Jesus said, come to me. He didn't grab Peter. Come on, Peter. Come on, let's go walk, right? Let's go walk on the water. It's going to be a great story, Peter. They're going to know about us for thousands of years. Come. And it was Peter that had to decide at that moment to engage this. Yes, Lord, I'll come. And so again, in order for us to be people of impact, we have to say, yes, Lord. Now, hear my words, right? I didn't say for us to be a church of impact. I said a people of impact. If you know me and if you know our ministry, you know how we desire to have an impact. If this is the year of impact, we've called 2025 to be a year of impact. We can try to do all things through our church organizationally, right? And we have those things. I'm going to talk about some of those things today. But I can't stress to you enough, the impact really, truly comes down to you and I individually. You and I are called to be people of impact. And what happens when people of impact come together? We become a church of impact. It has to start with you. It has to start with I individually. We talked about two illustrations to kind of show that, and I put up on the screen, I don't have it today, but I put up on the screen, if you remember, Newton's cradle, you remember that? That little, you know, when you have the, I think it's about like five or six sets of suspended balls, right? And you pick one up and then you release it and it taps the others. They stay stationary except for the one at the end, right? What does it do? Right? It goes up and then it keeps on doing that, right? That's an illustration of the impact on an individual level. The other one was a ripple effect, a picture of you throw a stone or you throw a pebble into water, and how many, I feel like this is, it's human nature. I don't think there's ever been a person that has ever walked up to a pond or river or some body of water that there's stones in front of them that they don't pick one up and throw it in. I think this is like an automatic thing. Like, that's what we do. Like, it's like an instinctual thing. Like, harkens back to, like, long ago. Maybe it's our hunter-gatherer mentality. I don't know. But we throw that pebble, we throw that stone in, and what happens? You see ripples extend out. And they keep going, don't they? That's a great example of kind of that idea of what happens when you and I, and what happens as we come together as a church, moving in step, moving in harmony, moving in unity in that way, what happens? We have a ripple effect. We affect the circumstances. We affect the situation. We affect people. And so again, today, you have to say, yes, Lord, to that. We talked a little bit about kind of what comes and gets in the way of that, right? Kind of our background, our circumstances, maybe our pride, right? And we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well, but it really still comes back down to this idea. We're just like Gideon, we're just like Moses. We're confronted with an opportunity to be in whatever capacity, because I'm not saying what that is for you. Whatever the capacity that God calls each and every one of us individually, it's up to you, like Peter, to get out of the boat. No one's going to do that for you. And so again, yes, Lord. I simply just called today, really clever, you're going to love this, part two. I thought all week about that, by the way, right? What do I name my sermon? Oh, part two, that's perfect, right? I saw this little cartoon that is showing a guy driving, okay? And this cartoon is basically says it this way: GPS for men who refuse to ask for directions. Apparently, as I noticed, you started laughing. There must be some truth in this illustration of a man refusing to ask for directions. Are there any men here today? Can we just be honest and transparent, right? That refuse to ask for directions. Like, I see that hand, sir. Thank you. So there is some truth in that, right? And all it says is he's driving, and it's the funny thing is I had to laugh because it kind of dates this cartoon too. Like, does anybody really use GPS anymore? Like, does anybody have an actual physical separate? Was it Garmin? Garmin was one. I think there was maybe some other ones, right? Because we're so connected to our phone. And it has all that capability, it has all the programming, it's got the apps on it, right? So it's already kind of there, but like the separate one, right? So he's got it mounted on his little dashboard, and it's the GPS is calling out to him, and it says it this way: I don't need to tell you which way to turn here. You're too smart for that. But if you want a little hint, I won't tell anyone. Is that true for any of us today? That we don't ask for help, that we don't seek out directions. You know, it's interesting. God has created us in a very unique way. And this is kind of one of our slogans that we have said over the course of the last couple years here at Crosspoint. We're better together, right? Does that sound familiar? We're better together. And the idea of asking for help, right, sometimes, for some of us, okay, could kind of be repulsive, right? I'm going to do this. I will do this on my own. I am bound and determined to do it. But you know what? God has created us as human beings in such a fascinating way. We truly are better together. And today we're talking about that idea of receiving, asking but receiving help. What does that mean? To be a person of impact in your life, your work, your family, your sphere of influence. What does it mean to be a person of impact? And what does that have to do with receiving help? It's really actually pretty important. We see it right off the bat. Genesis 2, the second chapter in the Bible, right? He starts out and it says this: "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." I'm going to just be honest and I'm going to break it to all the men in the house. You need your spouse. Right? I hear that amen too. Yeah. Oftentimes, this is how I would, as a counselor, this is what I would tell people that were coming in for maybe some marriage counseling or premarital counseling. I would tell them, what is the definition of a biblical marriage? And, you know, they'd give kind of the canned answers, and none of them are wrong. Wasn't like I was trying to set them up, right? Like, but here's what I would describe for them. The biblical definition for marriage is this: it is my responsibility as the husband to be a man of God and to help my wife become the woman of God that she was created to be. That's not because she's not incapable or not, you know, strong enough or not good enough. That's not it. No, it's the same for her too. Her job is to help me become the man of God that God has created me to be. There's a symbiotic relationship in that, that we are to work together to help one another become the person that God has created us to be. Her giftings. Have you ever seen me play the piano? Have you ever seen me lead worship? That's what I thought, right? Her giftings, right? You know what the dilemma, though, that we find ourselves in? Is that we oftentimes, whether or not we receive help, right? It doesn't matter. All of us are this way. All of us are this way. Either we choose to say yes to that or not. Whether that's coming out of whatever place. But we struggle with this idea of receiving help. You know, a lot of times, and we were talking last night at one of our men's small group last night at Soulfire, we were talking about the lesson, and one of the things that we came up with and talked about was pride. Pride gets in the way of being that man of God. But in this case today, it also can get in the way of asking for help, right? Just like that GPS, just like, you know, refusing to pull over and asking for directions. Men, your wife actually probably knows how to read a map and can really navigate for you, I bet, especially if she pulls her phone out. Don't forget, right? Don't neglect. Don't refuse the help. Pride is a big thing. Not admitting that we're wrong can be prideful, right? Like not choosing to understand and to realize, no, I'm in the wrong right now. And then fessing up to that and then making it right and getting to your destination in a quality time, right? Quick time. Pride can be huge. It can be things like convenience. Let me share with you real quick. Sometimes I love to let my kids help with like chores around the house, and sometimes it is the hardest thing to do, right? When a toddler wants to help unload the dishwasher, which is great. And let me encourage you, parents, to allow your kids to do those things, right? Show them, right? But when a toddler wants to do that, just get ready for like Tupperware stuff to be everywhere, broken glass, right? Things that aren't put in the right places. Why is the spoon up here where the cups are? What happened to the spatula? They commandeer and like confiscate all of our good spatulas, so they're playing with all of our, and I'm like, where? And does anybody else struggle with, there's never any dish towels. When I wash my hands, I go to dry my hands, never a dish towel to be seen. Why? Because my kids, there's a sense of I don't want them to help me because it's just inconvenient, or I want to get it done fast, or I want to maintain what we have and not lose it and have to figure out where did my dish towels go. It's, I know, I'm crazy, but sometimes we refuse that help. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to be burdened. I don't want to put somebody out, right? Hey, I'd come and help you. Just let me know when you need help. Okay. And then I never say that. I never ask them. Why? Because I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to, I don't want to interrupt them, right? There's a ton of reasons why we do this. And it's actually true for us in the kingdom of God, too. It's the same kind of excuses that we'll use, that we refuse help. And we lessen our impact as a result of it. I mean, it's as simple as this thought. To be a person of impact, you must accept God's help. I said it last week this way too. It's kind of like the most obvious sermon series, right? Like, well, you got to say yes, Lord. Well, duh, right? Like, yeah, Mike. And today is similar. Yeah, well, sure. If you want to be a person of impact, you got to receive help. In this case, God's help. It seems obvious to us. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, you and I would probably agree that we oftentimes don't do that. There's two ways. Today we're going to look at two ways that we receive help. The first one, God's family, and the second is the Holy Spirit. God's family, you and I, right? The body. And the second one is the Holy Spirit. So let's look at the first one, God's family, first. And there's a scripture reference that I want to bring up to your attention, and that's 1 Thessalonians 5:11. It says it this way. This is the Apostle Paul encouraging the church in Thessalonica. He says this way, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. In that chapter, chapter 5, it's really a clear, poignant call, readiness, spiritual vigilance, mutual edification, unceasing prayer, underscoring the essential tenets of the Christian faith and living. But it's right kind of in the middle where that verse, verse 11, shows up. And he states it so just, boom, the idea, right? That you and I do this with one another, and there's a benefit that you and I have when we engage in that. And what are we to do? Encourage one another. Build one another up. That's what edifying means. You edify the body. You build up. Mutually beneficial. Paul talks about the expression and the manifestation of tongues and interpretation in worship, right? He talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 12. And Paul says that the same kind of way, it is to edify the body. It's never a singular thing, nor is it ever to divide anyone, and to put someone on a spotlight, right? That's not what that is. Paul gives clear direction in that. But the same kind of spirit, the same theme, if you will, Paul describes it that way, where he says, you build one another up. If you've been here on a journey night, on a Wednesday night, I think you know what I mean by that. Such a cool thing to see at 6 o'clock when we were doing the dinners. People sitting with each other, fellowshipping, eating together. What were we doing? We weren't just eating pizza. I hope you realize that. What were we doing? We're doing exactly what Paul just describes. You build one another up. It is the family of God. The purpose of the church in that way, to build one another up. Another scripture verse that Paul talks clearly to us is found in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. It reads this, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Paul, and I love the way that's NIV, I believe, and then I have the ESV as well. And I love the different language, and it says, let us consider how to stir, not spur, but stir one another up in love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Same verse, just a little different language in that way. But Paul, again, in that same spirit, in that same theme, describes what happens when we as a body come together, be it on a Sunday morning, be it on a Wednesday night, be it at any of our small groups that meet, or any function. You know, Paul is charging us, challenging us to not only persevere, because in that chapter he's talking about persevering in our faith. It's kind of, think of it this way. I know nobody loves to talk about COVID-19, right? And like all the lockdown, right? But there's a great example of like what I'm referring to and what kind of Paul is talking about building up, spurring, stirring each other, right? We're going to cheer each other on, right? If you remember, there were certain sporting events that in that time of lockdowns that were still happening like as the actual sport, but without people in the stands. It was the weirdest thing to watch. In fact, and I know this because I'm a fan, if you're a soccer fan, I love the English Premier League. It was weird because you'd watch the game, there'd be nobody in the stands, but you can hear. They would have music or like white noise, like fan noise pumping through the speakers. Because there was this weird, awkward silence that was happening during this game. It's just so foreign to us, because you think about it, when you go to a sporting event, what do? You cheer, you stir on. Come on, guys. Come on, let's go, defense. Come on. You stir up, you spur one another on. And when that doesn't happen, it's almost like it feels kind of deflated, right? So they blast this through the speakers, and it felt so weird. But Paul is talking about this. Paul is saying, as a church family, God's family, we are to do this for one another. And what happens on the other side of it? For you to receive that. Here's a great example of this. And again, we're going to use the character of Moses, right? And this is coming out of Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13. Let's read it together. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joseph did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses's, catch this right here, but Moses's hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. You and I need help. In order to be a person of impact, you and I need someone to spur us on, to come beside us. I need my hands held up sometimes. It gets tiring when I hold my hands up, right? When Moses held his hands up, that's a long battle. And the battle would sway. I need help. Moses needed help. Let's look at a second example of that. This is out of Nehemiah. If you recall, I taught out of Nehemiah back at, I don't know, I think it was March when we did Cross Point Alive on that Wednesday night. And we went through the first few chapters of Nehemiah. But this is coming out of chapter 2. And again, the backstory is this, is that Nehemiah is coming back to Jerusalem from the Babylonian captivity. He's been released from the king to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. They're torn down. They're dilapidated. There's a few left that are living in the area, right? But it's Nehemiah that's been charged with this task. So Nehemiah comes back, actually, and in the middle of the night, he examines. He goes through Jerusalem without telling anybody. He goes through, and he looks at the wall and sees what's the damage here. What do we got to work with? And he doesn't tell anybody that he's doing this. And so in the next morning, this is kind of where we pick up in verse 17. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them out of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. And this is what they said. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. It was impossible to Nehemiah to be able to do the task that he was called to do, that he was given provision to do, by the way, by the king. Impossible for Nehemiah to do that on his own. And there's probably some of us here this morning or joining us online that probably have a task in front of us, whatever that is, that feels overwhelming, feels insurmountable. It feels like crumbled walls, and you are to take those brick by brick and your own two hands and to rebuild something. I think that's fair, that there's probably someone here that struggles with that. In order to accomplish the task before us, in order to be a person of impact, we must be the people who both give help and to receive help from the family of God. There's something I want to kind of pivot here, and there's something that I want to express to you this morning. And if you have your bulletins, I'm not going to do announcements, by the way, again. So, but if you open up your bulletin, you'll see in the insert here there's a page, and I want to go through real briefly, just a few moments, of what your church, what Crosspoint is doing in 2025 and the year of impact. And I want to bring some clarity to that Because we got a lot going on this summer coming up. It's right at us. But you're going to see something called the Babe Stern Boys and Girls Club of Canton Pioneer Summer Camp. What is that? That is an all summer long day camp that kids, predominantly inner city here in Canton, can be a part of at Malone. Throughout, they're fed breakfast, they're fed lunch, they're given all sorts of different things that they can be a part of, and learning and activities, physical, academic, all sorts of things. Here's what we have to do, though, with this. So, Pastor Brad really has been on the task of partnership, and how do we utilize our resources here, our people, our building, all of the assets that God has blessed us with, and how do we maximize that impact? And one of the ways that we have chosen to do that, and the opportunity that has been kind of given to us in that way, is a partnership with Malone University, right next door to us, and this program. So what we have chosen to do is to open our building up for them. Our building will serve as the drop-off and pick-up for these kids every single day in the summertime. So not only will we have young kids to adolescent, teenage years in our building, but you know what? We'll also have parents, grandparents of families that are in need of Jesus. And so we have decided to say we want to be a partner in ministering and blessing them in ways that Malone can do, and with their hands and their assets and their blessings in that way. And they're going to bless these kids. We want to step into that as well. And what God has blessed us with, we agree with that. And we're going to step in and make an impact in these kids' lives. That's the first thing. Along with that, here's what we've decided to do. So as the summer goes on, what we're going to do is 2 days of that week, or those weeks, all summer, 2 days a week, we're going to provide for these children an opportunity to hear about Christ. And so we've provided for them a small lesson, interactive ability, some fun things as kids to do to come in, and it's an elective. They can choose to do this. They can come back over to our building as they're going to be on that campus all day long. They're going to come over back to our building, and for 2 days a week, we're going to lead them through the armor of God. And our own Ashley Gray has decided to help with that, and we thank her for that. We bless her in that way. We're excited for that. And so we have this camp that we're partnering with, and they're going to utilize our facilities, and we're going to partner in ways that we want to bless these kids. And then we're going to step in, and we're going to, 2 days of the week, each week, we're going to speak Jesus into these kids and make an impact. Here's the last thing. So along with that, we're going to choose 1 week. And for every day, Monday through Thursday, we're going to do a VBS, a Vacation Bible School, that those kids get to be a part of if they want. And so June 16th through the 19th, we're going to do what we call Zoomerang. And all that is just it's an Australian-themed Vacation Bible School. And we call that just our summer day camp. Not to be confused, by the way, with our summer camps down at Heartland outside of Columbus for both our kids and our youth in that way. This is just what you typically think, what we sometimes know to be Vacation Bible School, right? From the hours of, I think, 1 to 3:30, I think is what we have. See, these are three things that we as a church, let's go back to what I said earlier. We as a church are doing to be a church of impact. But you and I both agree, and I think you know, that we cannot do that unless you and I become people of impact. Does that make sense? You see, we want to move forward and reaching our community. We say that we want to do that, right? But when push comes to shove, sometimes we don't, right? And so again, we have opportunity. Just like Moses, just like Gideon, to say, yes, Lord, what is it that you're calling me to do? And through the family of God, you and I and Crosspoint make an impact into kids' lives that may have no idea who Jesus is. You might, that might actually surprise you today. I don't know. Maybe you're here today and you're like, oh my, come on. Hey, everybody. Hear me out. There is families and there are children who have no clue who Jesus Christ is, that he died for their sins on the cross. They don't know. Those families, they don't know. They don't live in the peace and the forgiveness and the freedom that comes in relationship with Christ. We have opportunity to be a church, to be people of impact in our community. And I pray that's your desire this morning. And I pray both to give, but yet to receive from the family of God. There's a second way that we talked about just briefly, real quick, that in order to be a person of impact, you need to receive help from God, and it's His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit. Let's look at John chapter 14, verses 16 through 17. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." Why is this so important? Why is this scripture, if you reflect on that, why is this so important? Jesus actually talks about this just in a few verses earlier in John 14, 12 through 14. He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." The question is, what are you asking help in? What are you asking to be an impact? What are we asking as a church? What kind of impact? Jesus just said, greater things than these. Jesus wants you and I to be people and a church that impacts our culture, impacts marriages, impacts schools, impacts children, impacts everything. We are called to the greater things and than these. You know, Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to teach. Jesus passed that ministry on to us. But what did he also do? He gave us a helper, he says, just like him. Not in flesh and bones, but in spirit. He said, he will dwell in you, he says, right? Holy Spirit. He provides the help that you and I need. In order to be that person of impact, we must receive that help that Jesus is describing, the help of the Holy Spirit. I want to just quickly go through a few things. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life, it'd be simple as this. It empowers people to preach the gospel. We see that in Acts 1:8. We see Peter preaching boldly after receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Gives believers a deep understanding of Christ and in his love, coming from Ephesians 3:19. The Holy Spirit does that for you and I. He illuminates the truth in God's word. Right? When you read, he helps you to understand. Something pops out. Something. Wow. It enables believers to put to death the deeds of the flesh. Die to yourself in that way. He produces Christ-like character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Imparts spiritual gifts for ministry. We see those often in our corporate worship. But those aren't just for corporate worship. The gifts for ministry happen all the time, folks. He imparts that gift to you, and he imparts that gift to I. He provides guidance in ministry and decision making. This is obviously not an exhaustive list. I just kind of rattled off a few things. But here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit and helping you and I. When we are faithful and obedient, and we say, yes, Lord, here's what happens. He's faithful to do the things that only he can do. Things that I cannot, that you cannot, that Nehemiah could not do, right? He brings people together. He brings the church together. He brings things out of his word to enlighten you, to challenge you, to convict you. He helps me. He helps you. And we have to say yes, Lord, to that. In order for us to, for this help to be received, here's the critical thing, and this is so important for us to remember this morning. For that help to be received, it is the believer's responsibility. It is the believer's responsibility to seek out and to be filled and renewed. It is your responsibility, not the pastor's, right? Not the deacon board, not the elders. It is your responsibility, my friend. Well, where does that say that in Scripture? Let me pull up a scripture first for you here. 2 Timothy 1:6. This is Paul charging Timothy, he says. He says, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Paul is reminding Timothy, don't neglect this. Don't neglect it. Stoke the fire. Move. Access it. You want to be a person of impact, Timothy. You got to stoke. You ever see someone who's hot, right? What do they do? Oh, whew, Lord. You have to stoke the fire. You have a responsibility to do that. It is your responsibility as the believer to stir that gift up of the Holy Spirit. There's a great illustration of this in Leviticus. In Leviticus chapter 24, verses 1 through 4, the Lord said to Moses, command the Israelites to bring clear oil of pressed olives for the light so that the lamps may be kept burning continually. Outside the curtain, the shields that shields the Ark of the Covenant Law in the tent of meeting, Aaron is to tend the lamps before the Lord from evening until morning continually. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. The lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord must be tended continually. What does that mean? Just like the Israelites in the wilderness, we are responsible for supplying the oil, right? Follow me? Supplying the oil for the lamp. God charges us with maintaining our oil, your individual oil. He charges us to guard that oil, to maintain that fire, to burn bright. You are to bring the oil. He provides the fire. It's not your fire. It's the fire that would come down by night, would light the oil that the tribe was in charge of to bring, to make sure that that lamp didn't go out. Impact, continually impacting. What is the evidence for that? Let's look, Galatians, right? Galatians 5, 22 through 23 says it this way, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is impact of the fire and your oil. What Paul talked about, fan the flame. The impact of maintaining the oil and fire of God in my life, in your life, will be increased as a result of my tending to the gift of it. Tend to it continually. Let me share another example coming from the New Testament of where Jesus is talking about living waters. Living waters. As we start to wrap up this morning, I want to share with you a pretty cool thing that God's kind of revealed. But in John chapter 7, this is verses 37 through 39, and on the last day of the feast, the great day, this is the eighth, by the way, this is the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles was the festival that they Israel celebrated coming through the wilderness and living in these kind of makeshift tents, right? The tabernacle, these tents. So they would celebrate, and on the last day of this festival, on the eighth day, this is where Jesus is stating this. And you'll see kind of the connection here in a sec. So Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. So the Holy Spirit's not there yet. But what is Jesus talking about? You see, Jesus made this, he cried out, it says. No coincidence that it was on the eighth day. Why was that significant? Because on the eighth day, when the temple was still standing in Jerusalem, okay? So this is, Jesus is there on the eighth day. This is what took place. That there was a spring, was the Gihon spring. And Gihon is actually in reference to a river that we'll see in Genesis in reference to the Garden of Eden, one of the four rivers that come out and that are created by the river that flows out of Eden. And the Gihon River is coming from the Gihon spring. Where was that spring? Directly under the Temple Mount. Directly under the Holy of Holies. That's where the water would come up. And then it would pool just a little ways down, but at the lowest point in Jerusalem, the Pool of Siloam. Now, many of you heard that story before too, the Pool of Siloam. What does the word Siloam mean? Well, Siloam means sent. And so, on the eighth day, you would have people carrying jar vessels, right? These great big jars. And what they would do is they would go down to the lowest point in the city, to the Pool of Siloam, that was fed from the Gihon spring. And that water was considered living water. Because that's where God's presence came, the Holy of Holies. And that water was pure. The water was holy, living water, what they would do on the 8 days, they would go down and descend all these steps. And they would take jars and they would gather the water up. And as they started to climb the long staircase back up to the Temple Mount, they would periodically stop. And what would they do? They would pour a little bit out. They'd pour a little bit out. And they would rejoice. And they would praise. Living water. It wasn't a coincidence that Jesus made that statement on that day, as people would take water, climb the stairs, pour a little bit of that living water out. Because he knew that people needed something more than that physical water. They needed the help of the Holy Spirit and the living water that the Spirit gives us. Something greater than that. See, it kind of mirrors our spiritual walk. You know, you and I are called. We are called and we are sent. Siloam. All the way down to gather some and to receive the gift that he wants to give us, his Holy Spirit. To do what? The task at hand, whatever. How? We read that. Equipping, empowering, enlightening, encouraging, building, edifying. So then when you get that vessel, you get that water, you got to make the climb back up, right? What happens when you and I pour out that water, though? What does that mean? It's the impact upon people's lives. Because you and I are filled. Your vessel is filled with his Holy Spirit to do what? Not to take that jar and to keep it for yourself, to climb the stairs all by yourself, to have a full jar when you get to the top. It's not it. To pour out that in which Jesus and his Holy Spirit has poured into you and I. And we rejoice and we sing praises. What happens when we do that? People are impacted. People are touched. People are changed. Not because of you. Not because of me. It's because that we said, yes, Lord, to being an impact. And he does the work that you and I can't do. But he's calling us to go down and to fill our jars. He's calling us to receive help from one another. Because you and I cannot do that on our own. So as this morning, as we close, I want to just challenge you this morning. If you've never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the band's going to play. I'm going to dismiss, but if you're hungry for something, if you're thirsty for something, like Jesus said, I want to give you living water. Can I encourage you to, as we kind of close, I want to pray, but as the band continues to play, I'm just going to dismiss everybody. But if you're here today and you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be up here. I want to pray for you. Because God wants to pour out his Spirit in your life. And he wants you. He's called you. He's challenging us to be people of impact. So let's do this. Would you stand with me this morning? And I'm going to close in prayer. And And I'm just going to dismiss. But if you're here today and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's a little different. We don't oftentimes directive in that way on a Sunday morning, but I just feel led. But I'm going to challenge this morning as we close. Church, take up the responsibility in your life to be a person of impact, to fan the flame, to receive help. Don't be too prideful, men, right? Don't be so prideful. Receive help. Holy Spirit wants to guide us. Holy Spirit wants to help us. So again, I'm going to close in prayer. If you're here today, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I want to pray with you. The band's going to play. We're going to just continue to worship if you feel led to. But as I pray and as we close, you are more than welcome to step out. But would you just agree with me this morning? So Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Father, I thank you this morning that you've given us your helper. You sent, Lord, the comforter to us, Lord, to guide us, to help us, to illuminate our minds and our hearts, to open up things that, Lord, we can't, to accomplish the tasks that we are not able to. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ, the family of God, that we come together and we raise each other's arms. We stand in the gap for one another. We intercede for each other. Jesus, thank you for the family of God. Thank you that you created us to be better together. And Lord, we need you especially this morning. Father, I pray just for each and every situation, for those needs that are represented here this morning. Bless them, keep them. I pray, Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. And Father, I pray that we would be a seeking church, that we would seek you out, that we would fan into flame. Father, I thank you. Bless these people, Lord, as we conclude this morning and as we close. Bless them, keep them. Let them come back Wednesday. Lord, let them come back next Sunday. Father, I pray, fill the hearts of your people. We thank you. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen. God bless. If you can't stay, but if you're here today and you want prayer, if you want to receive, I'm here to pray with you. God bless. Thank you, church.